It is a state capitol report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Republican state lawmakers seek to block government agencies from closing churches and houses of worship during emergencies. It's legislation that failed in the past, and their path forward this time is through a constitutional amendment, which we'll explore. And you can call in with your question or comments along the way at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Anya Van Wagtendonk is Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol reporter. Anya, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So to what extent would Senate Joint Resolution 54 exempt churches from government-imposed restrictions?
Yeah, this proposal would add a line to the religious freedom section of the Wisconsin State Constitution. That's a section that says that the government can't stop a person from worshiping how they choose and can't make a person worship in a particular way or give preference to a particular religion. So this new addition would also say that the government can't close places of worship or forbid gatherings in places of worship during a state of emergency. That includes public health emergencies like a pandemic, but that could also be other times of crisis like severe weather or political unrest.
So COVID-19 here, kind of the undergirding, what happened during COVID that would perhaps, attach itself to this constitutional amendment?
Yeah, that's right. So during the first couple of months of the COVID-19 pandemic here in Wisconsin, there was a limit on gatherings of more than 10 people. So, of course, that could also affect in-person worship services, particularly, on major holidays, but also just kind of on a regular basis. One thing that's kind of interesting, so it didn't single out churches or religious services, but they were affected. And one kind of point that's been raised is how closure would be defined and how gathering would be defined in such a prohibition. So if buildings are ordered to close, but a church service can be held virtually. Does that mean that the worship gathering has or has not been interrupted by such an order?
So have you heard of religious leaders responding to this proposed constitutional amendment?
Yeah, there was a public hearing on the proposal last month. There was some testimony sort of for, nothing specifically against, but some religious groups came out just with some questions, neither for nor against. So the Wisconsin Council of Churches raised that question about, again, how do we define closure? How do we define gathering? And how do we also protect a religious institution's commitment to maintaining, for example, the health of its congregation? So it raised some nuances to that. There has been, when I've spoken to the lawmakers who proposed this amendment, they say that they've spoken with religious leaders who are very much in support of this proposed amendment.
Can you put a finer point on this? Did Governor Tony Evers ban churches from operating during the pandemic?
No, churches would have just been included, or houses of worship would have just been included in that ban on gatherings of more than 10 people. So in the same way that schools and businesses were affected, houses of worship were also affected by that limit on gatherings.
Why do Republican lawmakers want to take this step of making this a constitutional amendment?
So a constitutional amendment goes through a different process than a typical law. It has to pass in two consecutive legislative sessions, and then it also has to be approved by voters in an election. That means that it bypasses a governor's veto authority. So notably, as you mentioned, there has been other legislation similar to this. In 2021, there was a bill that passed in the legislature that would have prevented church closures in response to COVID-19 specifically. Governor Tony Evers vetoed that. And so this would get around that veto power. When I spoke to the co-authors of this proposal, they say it's really just a way of tightening up religious freedom laws in Wisconsin. Critics of the proposal say that religious freedom law is already very strong, and they sort of point to bypassing that veto authority as perhaps the reasoning for doing it.
So it must pass in two consecutive legislative sessions and then get approved through a statewide referendum in order to take effect, in order to change that piece of the Constitution. So right now, where is this legislation at exactly?
It's in very, very early days. It just went through a public hearing process in committee. And so it And then it got voted out of committee. And so it's unclear whether it will be taken up by the legislature when they reconvene this fall. So this would be the first legislative session that it could be considered under. It would then need to go through again next year if it did pass this year. And so it wouldn't go before voters at the earliest until 2025.
We're talking about church exemptions to government orders with Anya Van Wagtendonk, WPR's state capitol reporter. You can join in along the way with your questions and your comments pertaining to this joint resolution exempting churches from government-imposed restrictions. The number is 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Anya, where does this issue sit in terms of separation of church and state?
Yeah, so the bill's authors say that this is kind of the definition of separation of church and state, that the government simply can't tell a house of worship what to do in any form, whether to be open or whether to be closed. According to the authors, 9 other states have passed similar laws. And so it appears that this type of language or legislation has passed, you know, constitutional scrutiny. As I mentioned, critics of the proposal say that Wisconsin already has a very strong religious freedom law in its constitution. Some people say it's actually stronger than the First Amendment of the federal constitution. And so they say that this is just kind of a politicized response to how the COVID-19 emergency was handled. And I will say also, you know, I've spoken with public health officials and they're concerned that this would limit their ability to take action for potential future pandemics.
Would this open the door to other types of organizations that would want similar measures?
That's a great question. You know, I think religious institutions are protected in a way that, for example, businesses or schools aren't necessarily, because there is that constitutional protection of religious freedom and religious rights. And so it's unclear whether they would have the type of authority that houses of worship have. But it is possible, you know, once you kind of start limiting how public health officials can respond to public health emergencies, you know, can you continue legislating kind of on down the line around those types of closures that really were so controversial all through the COVID-19 pandemic?
And then along those lines, do you think that Republican lawmakers will pursue more constitutional amendments this way when they repeatedly see Governor Evers vetoing their legislation that they pass onto his desk?
Constitutional amendments, they are complicated, as we discussed, that they just take quite a long time. So this is one way to get around veto authority. One of the bill's co-authors said to me, though, that this is not a response to Governor Evers specifically. He pointed out that some Republican governors also, you know, imposed extraordinary measures during the COVID-19 pandemic. And he just disagrees with all of those, you know, categorically, whether it's a Democratic or a Republican governor who did it. So there is a way that this amendment process can be used to get legislation through that we know that Governor Evers would not support. But it's not super straightforward because, again, it does take 2+ years. And, you know, we have an election coming up next year. Things could be kind of changing in terms of who's in the legislature. So there's never a guarantee that this will get a lawmaker the outcome that they want.
Reminds me of a Wisconsin dance studio that was sued for allegedly holding a performance for an audience of 119 people in December of 2020. And the performance violated the emergency order prohibiting mass gatherings at the time. It was recently dropped, the suit. Would the proposed amendment exempt churches from this type of litigation?
Yeah, so in theory, houses of worship would just be exempt from any emergency orders like that on the local, state, or federal level. And so that lawsuit just sort of would be moot, you know, on its face to start with, in theory, according to the language of this proposed amendment.
Anya, let's shift now to the legislature this fall, what you have your eye on, what you'll be covering, where we are in the legislative session. Can you kind of give us a preview?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's interesting because over summer, lawmakers can just start to propose, you know, any number of kind of personal interests. And so I'm really interested in this. I think that constitutional amendments, as you mentioned, are an interesting kind of tool. And so we'll definitely be paying attention to this. There have also been some interesting proposals this summer around social media use and, you know, kind of how AI is used. And so there's kind of these, you know, we were paying so much attention to very local issues over the course of the spring and the budget process. And so it's kind of interesting to see what lawmakers are taking up over a kind of slow summer and prioritizing for the fall.
Do you think things will, be a little bit more active in the fall? Do you anticipate it will be, a busy fall for the legislature?
Oh, certainly. I think also, you know, we're obviously going into an election year. And so there's going to be, I think, a lot of conversation around our election laws and kind of getting ready for what will be a critical election cycle. Obviously, Wisconsin is always at the crux of these national elections. And so I think seeing how lawmakers start to approach voting process and election laws will be sort of front of mind for me as well.
Anya, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Anya Van Wagtendonk is Wisconsin Public Radio's State Capitol reporter, and it's part of our State Capitol Report, which you hear every Monday. You can go to our program page to find more conversations, more from the State Capitol Report. Visit WPR.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.